I think when I am able to get outside of myself and just get me out of the way, you feel that magic and it just feeds my soul and it is my passion. And you just know, oh gosh, this is really what I want to do. But as you get older, you know, the phone doesn't ring as much. So that's why in 2014, I decided to form Pearl Little Red Productions.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Dunedin Film Festival podcast, the official podcast of the Dunedin International Film Festival. With each guest, we peel back the curtain to reveal the journey from script to screen. Whether you're a cinephile, an aspiring filmmaker, or just love a good behind-the-scenes story, you're in the right place. So grab your popcorn and settle in as we go behind the lens of filmmaking. Today, we're shining the spotlight on a remarkable talent in the acting and production world, Susan Gallagher. Known for her compelling portrayal of homeless Lynn in Cobra Kai, Susan has carved a niche for herself, not just in front of the camera, but behind it as well, with her production company, Her Little Red Productions. From her early days modeling in North Carolina to taking the acting scene by storm here in Florida, Susan's journey is one of passion, perseverance, and the pursuit of creative fulfillment. Balancing family life with her career, she has navigated the industry with grace, making significant contributions to both mainstream and indie projects. As we dive into her story, you'll get a glimpse into the life of an actress who embodies the spirit of storytelling and the dedication it takes to thrive in the entertainment industry. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired by the multifaceted career of Susan Gallagher. Susan, thank you so much for being here on the show today. You've had an incredible career, not just in front of the camera and in production, but also in being a mom. I am so excited to bring you to the listeners today. Susan, go ahead and get started at the beginning.
Well, actually, I first started when I moved to Florida. I had done a little bit of modeling in my hometown of Charlotte, Gastonia, North Carolina. My mom was a jazz musician, so I sort of grew up with a little bit of a bug for the business. But it wasn't until I moved to Florida in Polk County, Lake Wells, and got married, started having a couple of kids, and started taking acting classes. And, you know, we had a lot of commercial work back in the day because of the theme parks and had a couple of series in the state. So, yeah, I mean, the doors just started opening up and it was something that I could do on a part-time basis, which I did for the next 20 years while I was raising my kids. And I don't regret one minute of that, but I always wanted to keep my foot in the door of the business. I loved acting from the very beginning. It was a great creative outlet for me, and it gave me an opportunity to get outside of Little Lake Wales and take acting classes in Tampa and Orlando. And I started at Kathy Laughlin's over 30 years ago. And made some lifelong friends there and a lot of contacts and studied, you know, a lot with Russ Blackwell and Hank Stone, KDG in Orlando, if you're familiar with any of those schools. And just loved this state and didn't get my first big break until probably the early 90s. It was a Roger Corman film who used to be kind of the king of the indie world. And it shot in Vero Beach over on the East Coast. And, you know, and then it'd be a couple more years before I would book another job because I'd be focused on the kids and not really pursuing this too much. But I continued to study. And then my next break was being handpicked by Aaron Spelling to play Gregory Harrison's love interest in a television show called Safe Harbor that shot in Jacksonville, Florida. So it was the creator of Safe Harbor was the same creator as Seventh Heaven, if you're familiar with that show. So Gregory had moved his family to Jacksonville. Rue McClanahan played his mother. She had moved and bought a condo in Jacksonville. Mickey Rooney was in it. So it was just a great opportunity for me as a local actress, even though, you know, it was still a 3 to 4 hour drive. So I was still a little away from home more than I wanted. But we were on the air for a season. And then they pulled the plug because we were more like an 8 o'clock show. And needed an 8 o'clock audience because Gregory had like these three really, really cute young sons. And I was Claire, the owner of the diner. And it was a family show, very wholesome. And we were in the 9 o'clock slot opposite Monday Night Football. So, you know, we did one season. I was really grateful for that. But I've had the opportunity to work all over the state from Jacksonville to the Keys, you know, on Bloodline with Kyle Chandler. And I booked another recurring role on a show called The In-Betweeners that shot at Universal Studios in Orlando. And Tika Waikiki was the director of that. And I had a wonderful time working with him. And we shot that for one season. And then they pulled the plug on that. While The In-Betweeners is like this huge, huge hit over in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. So we thought, oh, wow, this is going to be great. It's hilarious with these boys. And I played the mom of one of the boys, Bubba Lewis. So, you know, I've just hung in there. And then when my youngest left for college, I finally moved to New York and started getting really serious. And then I would always come back home. And there's no place like home. And Florida is just a wonderful place to work and live and raise your children. And I'm just real grateful for the experiences that I've had.
Yeah, having the unique opportunity to be able to film all over Florida and seeing these different locations and really just helping open your eyes to filmmaking, being out of California and New York, right, where you traditionally think it is more.
Right.
And you've been doing that for a long time. There's a new focus on filming in Florida, but you've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
What do you think, what makes filming in Florida different than filming in other areas?
I think in Florida, because we do have such beautiful beaches, we have a lot of rural areas, you know, so for Westerns or more casual settings. And then you have the city, you know, you have Miami, you have South Beach. So you can go anywhere from, you know, a cow pasture to the beach to the city within the one state. But, you know, my family and I, my kids and I would go to LA for pilot season every year. And that was a lot of fun. But it was always nice to be able to come back to Florida because there's just a more, I think, down to earth energy. I don't know if it's because we're outside a lot or whatever, but people are more down to earth and all over the Southeast because, you know, I've worked in Georgia a lot, in New Orleans, and there's just a friendly, warm, a wonderful energy in Florida that you don't find everywhere. So,
yeah, people create a home for you here in Florida. And that has been the experience we've been talking about throughout, you know, the interviews we're doing at the film festival and talking about creating a home and feeling welcomed. Let's talk about A Taste of Love and that being filmed here in Dunedin, my home. I love to call this place my home. So fortunate. And you know, to be a resident here when you guys were here filming and just how you guys really worked with the city. So tell me what that was like to film in Dunedin and working on the movie with Marty and Jesse.
I will tell you, and I'm glad that you asked that question because even though I have worked, you know, from Jacksonville to the Florida Keys and both coasts and in between and all over Florida, I had never been to Dunedin, Florida.
Mm.
So when I first got here, of course, I arrived at the historic Autograph Fenway Hotel.
Yes.
And it's just lovely and charming. And the view is fantastic. The people of this community were so supportive of A Taste of Love that it just really, it impressed me so much. And I mean, I've been in film-friendly community. Everybody in Florida is film-friendly. Dunedin is really like no place that I have ever worked because the city was behind this 100%. The, you know, the county, the residents, the businesses. I just can't see enough good things about Dunedin as an actress and as a producer looking at your location. And it's the perfect backdrop to a Hallmark movie. It's so charming and so sweet. And I just absolutely have fallen in love with this community. And you're lucky to live here. I think it's like the best kept secret.
It is. That's why we have to stop talking about it.
Because
you know?
You don't want all of the traffic and everything, but it's like, man, and I have asked so many people, Floridians, you know, that are born and raised in Florida, and they're like, what do you mean Dunedin? I was like, when is the last time you've been there? Oh, I went through there about 15 years ago. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. It is so well planned out and so lovely, and I just absolutely love it.
And the reason Dunedin is this way, it really goes back to, like you said, the city and our local government and in how much they advocate for the arts, whether it's the chair of the Chamber of Commerce and her advocating for the nonprofit theater groups and putting in a theater here. Yeah. We have some of the OG Dunedinites who have been here their whole lives. Right. And they advocate for performing arts and creating a space where arts are celebrated.
It is so obvious that they do that. And I've learned even more so because of this film festival and the great job that Cameron has done and all of you have done and her volunteers. I've heard all about her board members. I want to meet all of these people because they're remarkable. Everybody's just all in. And I'm just really impressed, not only as an actor, but as a producer with this community. And I just can't, you know, I just bravo to you guys. And I'm so grateful to be part of A Taste of Love. It was so nice to come back home because this is home to me, you know, and be part of such a sweet romantic comedy and to work with Marty. I mean, we had met a couple of times through our connection to Cobra Kai. But we had never really worked together. And it was just such a great experience to play his wife, and we're this happily married couple, and have this lovely daughter played by the beautiful Erin Cahill.
Yes.
And she just precious.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
love her so much. And then Jesse, Marty's son, is absolutely adorable and crazy talented, and plays her love interest. And it was so fun to not only play Marty's wife, because of the character that he plays in Cobra Kai is so completely opposite, just like the character that I play, Homeless Lynn,
exactly.
Dressed up as a filthy bomb, right, with rotten teeth. They paint my teeth brown, right? She's a mess. But anyway.
I love when you Google you because you see the two images right now, and it's Homeless Lynn and then From A Taste of Love, and it's very different.
It's very different, but it's so much fun. It's been very liberating to play that disgusting broad. But anyway, and then Jesse was in Cobra Kai and he played, you know, the bully.
Yes.
And he's this great all-American guy in this movie. So it's been fun to play different types of roles and to be able to see that other side of Marty, really. And to see the beautiful relationship between he and his son is very special.
I love seeing, you know, one thing Marty talks about is bringing authenticity to the role and showing the depth of the human connection, mm-hmm. which he doesn't always get to do with John Kreese. But in these kinds of films, he gets to show up and play those roles.
Yeah.
And yes, watching him and Jesse and how they interact is an incredible experience all in itself.
It is. It really is. Yeah.
And I know you have kiddos. Do they do filmmaking or are they in the industry at all? Or what's it like with them?
They were when they were younger. My daughter Caroline is just a wonderful actress and she would still be acting after a while. My husband was like, I can only afford one actress in this family. So Caroline, you need to get a job. So, but she went to college in at LMU, Loyola Marymount in Los Angeles, because like I said, we did go to LA every pilot season. And so she graduated from LMU and lived out there for 5 years. And I mean, it's a tough business. And then my son, Bo, he did a little bit of acting and he's a natural hand, but he didn't want to take the time to learn the lines. You know, he wanted to play. He wanted to be doing sports so he did a lot of print work and did some commercials. So, you know, they grew up in the business, so they know what it takes. And they've been so supportive. And I mean, every vacation we've ever been on, mom always would have to stop and put herself on tape. You know, they've just always been supportive. They've never complained because they know what it takes. And they know that I'm following my dream and I couldn't have done it without them. Because when I was shooting Safe Harbor in Jacksonville, Bo, who was my youngest and a little bit of a mama's boy, he had a little bit of a hard time even if I was gone for two nights. Right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think everything happens for a reason and it wasn't the right time for me to be working full time. You know, he was probably, you know, in the fourth grade. And Caroline is my independent one. She's much more like me. And you know, I just made that decision to put them first and I'm glad that I did. But, you know, now it's time to get busy and I'm trying to work real hard and keep some momentum going. And I appreciate everybody following me and all the support that this state and this community has given me has just been wonderful. And I'm just so grateful.
Well, this state and community are so thankful to have your talent and your tenacity and following through with these dreams. And even if you take breaks, to never give up on what you know is passionate for you. So the question that we're asking everyone is, what was your meet cute with filmmaking, with the industry? So what was that moment, that spark in which you knew that this is what you had to do?
I think that, probably one of my first real acting classes, when I got into a scene and had a really good scene partner and just was able to lose myself in a role. And Russ Blackwell is a teacher in Orlando that a lot of people in our state knows, and he's tough. He would always say, he'd say, Gallagher, you're always just half in. You're just half in. It's because, you know, I have kids and I'm wearing this hat and that hat. And but I never forgot him saying that. And I can remember one time it was in a scene study class with him. And I just decided to try to be all in and to stop letting any little bit of fear of vulnerability, any insecurity hold me back from really completely giving myself over to that role. And I certainly don't do it all of the time, but I think when I am able to get outside of myself and just get me out of the way, you feel that magic and it just feeds my soul and it is my passion. And you just know, oh gosh, this is really what I want to do. But as you get older, you know, the phone doesn't ring as much. So that's why in 2014, I decided to form Her Little Red Productions, my own company, even though I hadn't graduated from NYU or Southern Cal. But I had a lot of friends that were trying to do the same thing. And I was finally old enough that and felt comfortable enough in my own skin that I wasn't afraid to fail. Right. So I started going down that journey, and not that producing is taking the place of acting, because acting is still my passion, but producing my own projects keeps me sane in between the jobs.
Yes.
Right. Because I have a little bit more control. And if there's something or a role that I really want to play or that I need on my demo reel to market myself, you know, I can create that for myself. So, you know, it's helped, I think, give me a healthier outlook on the acting process too, because when you sit and with that casting director's hat on, you realize that it is not personal and it is a business. And so it took that, that mystique or whatever of booking the role. It made it a little bit clearer to me that, you know, you prepare for an audition, you do your very best, you try to be all in, and then you let it go. And it's not personal at all. So I think that's made me a better actor.
That was a great story. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for going all in today with us, Gallagher, here on the DIFF podcast. It's been so great to have you here and sharing these stories with you. So thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing a taste of love this evening. And that's a wrap on another episode of the Dunedin Film Festival podcast. We hope today's conversation has given you a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the world of film and the vibrant community of Dunedin that makes the festival so unique. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to keep the conversation going, please share it with anyone that you think would appreciate the stories that we're bringing to light. Word of mouth is the best way to help us grow and to continue to bring you fascinating insights from the heart of the film industry and beyond. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at DIFF Podcast for the latest updates, behind-the-scenes content, and a sneak peek at our upcoming guests. Your support means the world to us and helps keep the magic of film alive in Florida. Thank you for listening, and until next time, keep the reels rolling and the stories flowing. This has been the Dunedin Film Festival podcast. See you at the movies. Thank you for tuning in to the Dunedin Film Festival podcast, a product of Dunedin Film Festival, Inc., a 501c3 nonprofit facilitating the development of Florida's Culture Corridor in Pinellas County.